Hallelujah. In the words of the psalmist in Psalm 86 and verse 17, I declare unto this room this morning, let the Lord show us a token for good. Oh, let all the enemies that hate you, let them see it and be ashamed. Glory to God, because the Lord has helped you and the Lord will help you and he will comfort you on this morning and going forward, he will too. Praise the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. Father, we are in here, O Lord. We are here again in thy presence to experience. Let us experience you in a different way this morning. Oh, new every morning are the mercies of the Lord. So we want to experience something new. Glory to God. Something new on here this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Something new. Fired up. Are you fired up? Glory to God. Are you fired up? Are you on fire for the Lord on here this morning? Oh, my goodness. Let's come in his presence with thanksgiving. Come before him. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come into his presence. Hallelujah. Welcome, Sister Dana. God bless you. Welcome everyone into the room. God bless you, Lord God Almighty. We pray this morning, let thy glory, oh goodness, let thy glory appear unto us this morning. In the name of Jesus, let the beauty of the Lord, let him shine even upon us on here this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, establish even the work of our hands here this morning. Establish it, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God Almighty. Psalms 90 and verses 16 and 17. I pasted that in the room for you this morning. Glory to God. It says, let thy work appear unto thy servants. Hallelujah. And thy glory even unto their children. Well, unto us and our children too. You know, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. And establish thou, O Lord, the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands. Establish thou it. Oh, glory to God. Isn't that a marvelous prayer as we come into his presence this morning? God bless everyone that's here. I acknowledge you today. Glory to God. Come on in and let's get started. You know, we've got a fiery topic here this morning that we're going to share. And then we're going to go into some prayers. And remember, you know, we are trying to build everyday spiritual capacity. That's what this room is all about. You know, starting our day with God, you know, in his presence. You know, for some of us, we're just starting. I know some of you, like Sister Dana, they're already midday. But the Lord is your presence. I mean, the Lord is your glory and his presence be with you. You know, wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus. Now, this morning or this afternoon, wherever you are, open your heart before the Lord. Psalm 110 verse 3. I love that scripture. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Glory to God. Are you willing? Now, the prayer every day is, Lord, that's my prayer. Lord, I am willing. Make me willing. That's a prayer we should be praying. And I want to take a minute and just pray that prayer over everyone that's here this morning. Remember the Lord that came, you know, the man that came to the Lord and said, Lord, you know, I believe, you know, help thou my unbelief. You know, that's what we must. That's how we must pray. You know, we want God to help us to be willing. He needs to help us. You know, we need his help, but we can't do it on our own. You know what I'm saying? We can't do it on our own. Glory to God. So thy people shall be willing in that day of thy power. Thank you, Sister Pearl, for posting that. You know, and look at the next sentences, you know, in that, the next sentence in that verse. In the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, such as this. That is why it's so critical. You know, in the morning is so pregnant. It can be pregnant of all kinds of things. Pregnant with the goodness and mercy of God for us. You know, the enemies, the spiritual wickedness in high places, they're trying to make the womb of the morning pregnant with evil as well. But because we stand in his presence, you know, because we stand in awe of the Lord and we put on the every morning the priestly garments and we burn that wood, more wood upon that fire, you know, we can pray ahead into the day. We can avert any evil that the enemy was cooking. You know, that's not for us. He cannot serve it up for us in the name of Jesus. The only thing that will be served up for us today are mercy and goodness from the Lord. A powerful topic this morning. If you haven't shared the room yet, please share the room. Click the little share thing, the second to the left at the bottom there with the top arrow. Share it first on Clubhouse. You know, that lets people know that you are right here with us. And then share it everywhere else. Invite some people into the room. Let them be blessed here this morning. And I'm going to get started right now. Glory to God. The glory of the Lord, may it fill this place today. May the weight of your glory, Lord, fall upon us. May the truth of your kingdom, you know, fill our hearts and be revealed in us. Reveal, O Lord, in us, O God, the strength of the Lord, wherein you said he giveth strength to the weary, power to the faint, and even to them that had no might, he increaseth his strength. Lord, you know, sometimes we are weary, sometimes we feel faint, but we trust in thy power. Another encouragement room this morning to give us some boost. Glory to God. So I'm coming to you this morning in the name of the Lord on the topic of your faith being on trial. That's right. You know, so, you know, the next few days, by the grace of God, we're going to be building up faith. We're going to be building, you know, that faith, you know, rugged faith. You know, we don't want just little faith. We want rugged faith that can withstand the storm, even in the eye of the storm. That's right. We want powerful, rugged faith. Glory to God. So let's, you know, let's dive into this today and see what the Lord will have for us. Amen. You ready? Are you ready to go? I am ready. So we start here, right here at 1 Peter chapter 1. You know, we're going to be talking about and revealing some things about our faith being on trial. You know, when God called us into this walk of faith, you know, he has to test it, you know. It's not just going to be like that. You just come in, you know, there's no test, there's no trial, there's nothing else. You know, we have to test it. God does his own tests. The devil brings his own challenges as well. You know, either way, you know, we got some good things inside of us to enable us to pass the test. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. So, let me start here from, I'm just going to read maybe the first seven verses or so of 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. That's right. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible. These are the things that we have because of the new born relationship we have into his kingdom. An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that which fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God. And this power of God is through faith, even unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season. That's right. If need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold testings. It says here temptation, but it means testings and trials. You might be in heaviness. The burden might be upon you right now. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than a gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now you see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Ooh. The trial of your faith. That tells me that your faith is on trial. So that's what we are going to be dealing with this morning. I'm going to bring out certain aspects of that faith being on trial, you know, and what it all means and why it happens that way. Praise God. You know, the word of the Lord must try us. It must try whatever we say we believe. You know, that's part of this process. You know, so we're going to cover some of it this morning. 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, I'm going to read from verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Now, this fiery trial, it comes in different forms. Your trial may be different than mine. And as a matter of fact, it will be different. Just as everybody's fingerprints are unique, so is the plan and path that everybody is mapped into unique. You know, they may be similar experiences, but they'll never exactly be the same. You know, they won't even be the same in the way, not only in the way that it happens, but even the way that you each person reacts to it will be different. You know, so the trial sometimes will look like a fiery trial, but we got to fight fire with fire. Glory to God. You know, so whatever is coming, you know, we're ready and we will be ready. He will make us willing, you know, in the day of his power, and we will have fire to fight the fire. But he says, rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may also be revealed with him in with exceeding joy. You'll be glad in him. Glory to God. And sometimes we suffer, you know, because of the name of Christ, you know, and he encourages us here. Don't worry about it. You know, the Spirit of glory is resting upon you because on their part is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. Praise God. But let none of you suffer as a murderer and all of that. You know, so there is some trial that must come. It's of necessity and it comes from time to time. And you must climb every mountain. But I tell you what, I mean, picture that you have 7 mountains to climb or any number of mountains, you know, they are in a series, you know, the only way you can climb the second one is, you know, sometimes, I mean, unless you can jump from the top of one mountain to the other, which is highly unlikely, you can climb this first one, but you have to come down to climb the second one, and so on and so forth. So it's ups and downs. Climb up, sometimes you come down, but you got to climb the next one, and so on. You got to keep going. You know, look at the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 33. See what Jesus said about the things that will confront us, you know, as we trust in the Lord and as we wait for him. He said, look, you know, these things I have spoken unto you, John 16 and 33, that in me ye might have peace. For in the world ye shall. Now that is shall. It's not you, perhaps you may. No. Ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world for you. You know, so we're going to have these things, you know. You know, and every son that comes to God, he will test. You know, why? Well, we got to see what stuff you got. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6 will tell you that. It says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son in whom whom he receives. You know, there, and sometimes the chastening, you know, sometimes the scourging, and all of that is supposed to shape us along. The psalmist said in Psalm 34, there are some things that God allows too. You know, God doesn't put evil on any of his children. He'll never do that. We know that according to the words, you know, of Jeremiah 29 and 11, that my thoughts towards you are for good and never for evil, right? But, you know, he may allow some things, you know, that can help us to prune and to trim some things out. Psalm 34 and verse 19 says, many, not few, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him from them all. You know, that's the beauty. It's always, you know, the end game. The end result is always, you know, victory for us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him from them all. And in some of these afflictions, you know, there is no trial, you know, for the present time that seems to be joyous. We are told that, you know, but God is working something. Hallelujah. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 5. And let's read from verses 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, well, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He says, look, after you have suffered a while, not before, but after. You know, so, you know, God allows some of these sufferings and some of these buffetings and different things and so forth to come our way to prove, to show who we are and what we have. You know, but we're going to be, you know, covering not only these trials that come, but the victories that are promised thereafter. You know, so, you know, Isaiah 43 and verse 2. It says that when you pass through. So now that's not if, so that's when. So we know that, you know, these things are going to happen. There are situations in which it's going to look like, you know, we are flooded. You'll just be a flood. It will look like, you know, you've been thrown into the furnace. But, you know, when you're passing through, and keep in mind, you're passing through the waters, I will be with thee. And when you're passing through the rivers, you know, remember that key word is through. You're coming out on the other side. They shall not overflow you. And where thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Oh, my goodness. You know, we got to go through these things. Faith is on trial. Listen to what, you know, the apostle said in Acts chapter 14. And let's consider verse 22. In the book of Acts chapter 14, you know, maybe I'll read a little context for that. But Acts chapter 14, you know, it says, you know, let me start from, you know, perhaps, you know, let me just start from verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, he said must. You know, he didn't say we may. He didn't say we should. He said we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. You know, so these are things that are already ordained. There is no way out. You know, as a matter of fact, there is a story here in the book of Luke chapter 24 concerning Christ himself. You know, after his resurrection, you know, he went on the way and joined himself to two disciples that were walking on the way to Emmaus, we're told. And when they began to say all the things that happened and everything, and Jesus just pretended like he didn't know. He said, what things? And they began to tell him, well, are you a JJC? Johnny just come. What? You know, you didn't know about all these things that happened this weekend? And he said, what things? And they began to say, well, you know, this man, Jesus, who was a just man and everything, holy man sent from God, this and this, him, you know, they have taken, killed and everything and so forth. And we thought that he should have raised up, you know, he should have done all these things and so forth, you know. And Jesus said to them in Luke chapter 24 and verse 25, you know, he said unto them, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things in order to enter into his glory? So the path, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, to glory is through sufferings and through trials of your faith. And Jesus laid it out right here, you know. There is no way that the Christ is going to come into his glory without having first suffered these things. And sometimes, you know, that's the same for us. A few days ago, we covered that battle-tested believers. We got to go through these things. You know, there is no way out. There is no shortcoming. You know, in the book of, Hebrews, you know, chapter 6, he also talks about, you know, some of these things. Let's read Hebrews 6 Hebrews 6 and verse 15. Let's read that. And he says, look, this is a promise that God made to Abraham. Starting from verse 14, God said to him, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply you. But, you know, verse 15 says, and so after he had patiently endured, then he obtained the promise. So there is a process, you know, there is a process that the Lord will take us through. It's called our faith being on trial. Our faith is on trial. And everything that the Lord promised us must be tested. Glory to God. In the book of Psalm 105 and verse 19, you know, this psalm is talking about, you know, some of the things that happened to the children of Israel and so on and so forth. You know, even talked about the story of Joseph, you know, great things that the Lord promised him, you know, and how, you know, the word of the Lord. And we didn't, you know, when you're initially reading that story, you wouldn't know that it was the word of the Lord trying him, you know, but look at how he brought it out here, you know, that it was the word of the Lord, you know, and it tried him in many places, you know. So let me just read here, you know, all the things they passed through. Read that whole Psalm 105. It's a great psalm, you know, but I'll pick it up at verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters, and he was laid in iron until the time that the word came. His word came. The word of the Lord tried him. Glory to God. Now, you may not have known, you know, it looked as if it was his, you know, his brothers that hated him. And of course it was. It looked as if it was, you know, Potiphar's wife that conspired, framed him. Of course it was. And all of the things that happened to him looked like it was all these bad things. But it was actually the word of the Lord trying him, you know, because every time when they threw him into that dungeon the first time, you know, threw into the pit, you know, his brothers, Judah and Reuben, thinking to save him and all that, you know, when it first threw him there and he was in that pit all alone, dark and everything around him, a young boy, really, I don't know, maybe a teenager, you know, and, you know, what would he have been thinking? What would the devil have been saying to him? Even his brother said it to him. We'll see what will become of those dreams. And the devil will say, yeah. Are you a dreamer? You know, you're going to be a ruler indeed. Look at you. You are now in the dungeon. You are in the pit. The darkness everywhere. You know, nobody is going to save you. You're going to rot here and you're going to die here. You know, so the devil would tell him all those things. But, you know, lo and behold, God had a plan, you know, and it's the word of the Lord trying him the whole time, you know. And then when he went from there, you know, as if that was not enough, sold into slavery, a young man, 16, 17, like that, away from his family, you know, forever. In his mind, he thought, never see them again, you know, and he went there and all that and everything, you know, just blasting upon him, you know, even though the favor of God was upon him, you know, everywhere he went, he had favor, but yet the enemy was coming against him. But every one of those things were pushing him closer to his destiny. You know, there were destiny helpers along the way. All of the people that were trying to destroy him, his brothers, you know, who were destiny or would be destiny destroyers, God actually made them to become destiny helpers. They didn't know that all the things they were doing was actually to push Joseph closer to his destiny. But even among the wicked, there were a couple of his brothers that wanted to deliver him. God raised up even some direct, you know, saviors for him right there, you know. But every one of those would-be destiny destroyers were actually his destiny helpers, you know. And his faith was tried. You know, I don't know what he did when he was in that pit, you know, but, you know, it was definitely a very horrible day. I mean, this was somebody that was loved, beloved by his father, rainbow coat and all. And the next thing you know, your brothers hate you. You are in that pit. And not as if that's not enough, they're, you know, carrying you in a carriage to where you don't know, you know, and, you know, miles and miles, maybe hundreds of miles away. Who knows how long it took them to get there, you know, and when they got there, you know, he became a slave. Instantly, he was already a slave. Wow. But it was the word of the Lord trying him. And every one of those trials that he faced, even when he stood his ground and would not give in to the seductress that was trying to seduce him, and he went to prison for it because she framed him, and he stood his ground, and the devil would still talk to him and say, yep, see where all your righteousness got you, you know. Why? I mean, it was just a little thing. You should just have, you know, gone along, just slept with a woman and so forth. It would have even promoted you. you know? I mean, you know, you would have been, you know, I mean, chief over everything. He already was chief over everything. But he lost all of that. And the devil will continue to chide him. But it was the word of the Lord trying him. And the word of the Lord will try him. You know, the word of the Lord will try him. But listen, as we go through, Jesus said in Matthew 24 and 13 that, look, you know, just, you know, starting off is not enough. We must endure to the end. In the words of Matthew 24, 13, he said, look, they that shall endure to the end, you know, and what does that mean? Even they shall be saved. That means there's going to be all kinds of obstacles on our way. Your faith will be on trial. There will be many times that it seemed like you almost would give up, you know, but remember, in the words of Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 6 and 8. And I think we read this a few days ago in this room. You know, Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 8. I think I read Deuteronomy 31, 8 the last time. But it's the same thing. It's repeated twice in those two verses. You know, let me read Deuteronomy 31. I will read verses 6 to 8. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. You know, so all the enemies you meet in the way. This was Moses, you know, commanding Joshua and everything. The Lord, you know, was going to send them forth like that. And Moses called to Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all the people, be strong and be of a good courage. For thou must go with these people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them. And you shall cause them to inherit it. My goodness, that Joshua man, he was a champion. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee. You know, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Well, there will be opportunities to be afraid. There will be opportunities to be dismayed and discouraged and, you know, perplexed and all of that. And that's one of the reasons why Jesus, whenever he came upon the scene, he would say, fear not. You know, you got to get rid of that fear. But that fear will grip our hearts, discouragement and everything when our faith is going through trials, you know. But the Lord said, look, I will be with you until the end of the world. Matthew 28 and 20. He said it. He will be with you. And no matter what you're going through, just consider that it is the trial of your faith being most precious. That's what's going on here. You know, but God will bring you through. You know, always remember that the Lord is with you through it all, through the thick and through the thin. Jesus made a declaration. He said in John 8, you know, and verse 29, he said, look, my Father is always with me. You know, there's no separation. You know, why? Because I do all those things. I do only those things which are pleasing in his sight. John 8, 29, he that sent me is with me. Now, the Lord, you know, the Lord will say to some of you in this room, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Go forward, saith the Lord, for I am with you. Glory to God. You've got to go forward despite all of the challenges and the fate. You know, they stood at the brink of the sea, the Red Sea. They cried unto the Lord. They couldn't go forward because Red Sea in front, they couldn't go back. Pharaoh's armies charging down behind them in the back. But yet the Lord said, go forward. I mean, how in the world are you going to go? Are you going to go inside the sea? How can you go forward? You know, and people are there and say, go forward to where? You want us to go and perish inside the sea? You know, we can't go back. I mean, you should have just left us alone where we were. We were better off you know, in the land of Egypt, you know, and all that and all that and all that. But let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, hear it today. You will have your, many of you have had it, and you will have more. There's coming more. You will have your Red Sea moments. Your Red Sea moments. A Red Sea moment is a moment where, despite the fact that God has done incredible things for you in the past, you are facing yet one more situation which leaves you doubting. You know, doubting whether you can actually cross over. You know, because here's the Red Sea in front of you. The waves are roaring. The enemy is taunting you in the back, say, we're coming to get you. We got you right where you want it. Want you right now. Moses, your God is a poor general. He has led you up with your backs against the wall. I'm coming for you, Pharaoh said. And they cried unto the Lord. But the Lord said, go forward. You know, why are you standing still? Go forward. And I tell you what, as long as you are standing there, it will be the Red Sea. It will always be the Red Sea. But when you are prepared to go forward, then there comes, here comes the glorious one. Glory to God. Here comes the glorious one parting that Red Sea. My goodness. And you know, I don't think in my heart that God parted the Red Sea all at once. You know, even though that's the picture that we were made to believe, they had to keep believing. Even when he created a path, you know, and the waters were heaping up on either side. Moses said, let's go. You know, people were still thinking because their eyes could not see, you know, the horizon. You can only see so far. So even though God had parted the Red Sea, you know, they couldn't tell whether it parted all the way through. They could only see to the horizon, you know. And so, you know, but they had to keep move. They had to keep moving. They had to keep believing. And it's like, well, at any moment, those waves are going to come crashing down on us. You know, but you have to keep moving. And you got to keep believing. Meanwhile, the pillar of fire separating the chariots that are trying to chase them wouldn't let them get through until they got through on dry land. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And the waves, you know, hovering over them, you know, hovering over them. Any moment now, they are thinking, well, this thing is going to come crashing down on us and we are going to drown. But Moses said, no, nobody is drowning today. Keep moving. You got to keep moving. You and your little ones and your women, keep moving. You got to keep moving. You know, and they kept moving and they kept moving and they kept moving. Oh, my goodness. My lands. I mean, that is one of the most remarkable things we've ever seen in that Bible. And when they got to the other end, you know, Moses stretched forth his hand again and the waters, you know, were ready to go, you know, but God suckered in the children of Egypt. You know, he suckered them in. The Lord, first of all, removed the pillar of fire because the horses and chariots could not go through that fire. There's nothing you could do to make them, you can drive them hard. It's not going to happen. They cannot pass through that wall of fire. And so the first thing was the Lord removing the fire, you know, and the wall of fire and letting the chariots charge forward. So they charged forward also. But meanwhile, you know, God had a plan to destroy them all. Because the Egyptians you see today, he told them, when he told them to go forward, you will not see any more hereafter. And they came, they charged into, and God waited until they had charged right into the middle of it. There was no escaping. And Moses stretched forth his hand one more time. All the waters came crashing down and destroyed them all. But you see, you will face your Red Sea moments too. You know, God has done incredible things. You've seen, you know, how God turned, you know, water into blood. You've seen how God called, you know, hailstone out. You've seen how God called, you know, lice and frogs. You know, you've seen locusts cover the land. You've seen all kinds of things that God did. You've seen his signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. You've seen how God delivered all the firstborn of the children of Israel, whereas all the others were killed. You've seen all of that. But now you are facing the Red Sea. So people will have their Red Sea moments. You know, I challenge you today. At your Red Sea, what will you do? Will you go forward? For the Lord has commanded you so. Or will you turn back in your heart unto Egypt? And many of them turned back on their hearts, you know, to Egypt. But the Lord said, go forward. Now I'm going to read to you, you know, some promises if you go forward. You know, so there are some promises and you must go forward. It's your faith that's on trial. So, you know, but the Lord has, you know, he has promises for you. The same promises of I will never leave you nor forsake you. He said the same thing in Hebrews 13 and 5. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, but, you know, let's talk about, you know, overcoming obstacles and adversity. You know, we must overcome. Ecclesiastes 7 and 14 says, in the day of prosperity, rejoice. But in the day of adversity, consider. What does that mean? Well, that means we are going to have joyful days and maybe not so joyful days that we're going to have to consider. You got to consider. You know, and why does God do this? He said, God has set one over against the other. Put them side by side so that we should find nothing after him. We got to always trust the Lord. You know, he left everything side by side. The days of prosperity, the days when everything is good, and the days when everything come crashing down in a day of adversity. You know, but here are some promises for the overcomers. You know, at the end of it all, you know, we must overcome every single day. But also we must overcome that devil, you know, that's bringing all these things. We've covered, you know, when we talked about the four horns and the four carpenters a few days ago, we covered some of the plans and the onslaughts of the devil. And the anointings that God will give to, you know, to break those powers. But I want to remind you that, you know, we have the power always. Revelation 12 and 11. They overcame the devil by the word of their testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. And they didn't care less, even if they were going to be killed. They were ready to die. They couldn't care less, but they were ready to go forward. The other day when we covered the, you know, the, what was it? We covered the rules of engagement. I remember Sister Pearl saying that, you know, when she was a soldier, they had so trained them, they were ready to go in there. Didn't matter. They didn't care. They cared nothing for their lives. They were ready to go in there. You know, they considered not their lives even unto the death. They were ready to go, you know, but the Lord has a plan. You know, the word of your testimony is number one of how you're going to always overcome. You must never lose your testimony and never say in your heart. Don't let your heart say negative things. You know, yes, your heart will try. You know, it's called the soul. That's where the emotions are. They will, you know, your emotions will come, but you use the word of God to divide those two asunder. Hebrews 4 and 12 will tell you that the word of God divides asunder between the spirit and the soul. Because inside your soul, you get these emotions, fear, concern, distress, you know, anguish, discouragement, and all that. But the word of God will come to your spirit and you will separate all of that. And you say, nevertheless, hallelujah, despite all the things that I see, nevertheless, I am going forward. And you will go forward. And that when you go forward, you will win. You know, and here are some incredible promises for the overcomers. But remember, for you to get the final overcomers blessings, which Jesus talked about in the book of Revelation, between chapters 2 and 3, for every one of those promises. I'm going to read them to you today. Before you get there, you have to deal with all of the little challenges along the way. And every step that you win, it's like climbing the rungs of a ladder. You know, when you, each step you get there, you know, you get the victory, then you got to climb another one. You got to climb another step. You got to climb another step. You got to win another victory. So, but, you know, when your faith is on trial, even in the little things, if you give up, as Proverbs 24 and verse 10 says, if you are weary in the day of adversity, it shows that your strength is small. But you must not give up. You know, you must not give up. You must keep moving forward. Glory to God. Jeremiah 12 and 5 says, you know, if you go up against little things and you fail, what are you going to do when even bigger things happens? That's what Jeremiah 12, 5 means. You know, if you run against footmen and you don't win, how can you run against horsemen? If when everything is at peace, you still freak out, then what are you going to do when all hell breaks loose? You know, when Jordan overswells, and there's a time that Jordan always overswells his banks. You know, when everything comes crashing down, what are you going to do? So you must win every battle, and you must climb every mountain. And when you get there, finally, you know, you will also have a crown of glory. And there are many promises for the overcomers at the end, for each one of those seven churches. He has these promises. We start at Revelation chapter 2 and verse 7. You know, to him that overcometh, every one of those churches. But you have to overcome. If you don't overcome, you cannot get the blessing. You know, but you must overcome. And to overcome, you've got to have something to overcome. You cannot overcome if there is nothing to overcome. So there must be various things to overcome. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. To him that overcometh, Revelation 2, 7, will I give to eat of the tree of life, hallelujah, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelation 2, 11, he that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 2 and 17, you know, it says again, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, you know, and in the stone a new name already written, which no man knoweth it, but he that receives it. Revelation chapter 2 and verses 26 to 28. And he said, he that overcometh and keepeth my works till the end, this one is so powerful, will I give him power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron as a vessels of a potter. Why? Because he has already been trained as an overcomer. He's learned, you know, he learned toughness through all the things he suffered. You know, then he can be, you know, a champion on the people. You know, he can rule and bring the people into obedience with a rod of iron. Because he himself had passed the test. He passed the test. But if you don't pass the test, how can you get these promises? Shall rule them with a rod of iron. And the vessels, as a vessel of a potter, shall they be broken. You know, they will be broken to shivers. That's pieces. Even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. Woo. You know, maybe that's planet Venus. Maybe it's something else. I don't know. But it will give you, you know, places to walk by. Oh, among those that stand by the in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. To him that overcometh, you know, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not block out his name from the book of life. Well, that tells you some names might be blotted, but you got to be an overcomer, you know, till the end to assure that that name is there. I will confess my name, I mean his name, before my Father and before his angels. Why? Because he also confessed me while he was on earth, and through the trials, he never gave up. He never denied the faith. He stood firm, and I also will confess him. Glory to God. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 12. You know, many, many promises. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in that temple of my God. He shall go no more out. But I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven out of, you know, from my God. And I write upon him my new name. Will Jesus have a new name? Absolutely. Will you get it? Well, if you overcome, you have to be an overcomer. These are overcomers' rewards. And lastly, this is the greatest of them all. Revelation 3 and 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame, and I'm also set down with my Father in his throne. Glory to God. Now I am going to declare that God has made you a winner. Hallelujah. There's a song we sing, says, I am a winner. Jesus is the winner. The Lord has made me a winner. Oh, glory to his name. Are you a winner? Are you an overcomer? I am a winner. Jesus is the winner. My Lord has made me a winner. Oh, glory to his name. Are you a winner?
Amen.
You know, there shall none of you be called losers. Glory to God. You are not a loser. You are a winner. Hallelujah. And as a matter of fact, you are never to be defined by any losses that you've had. You know, here's the way I look at things that don't work out. You know, rather than looking at it as a failure, you know, I don't fail in anything. I just look at it, well, you know, I have learned something. You know, something, you've learned how that thing doesn't work. If you make attempt at something and you do not succeed, that doesn't mean you have failed. It just means that you have learned that you got to do it better. That's all. You know, so rather than looking at the negative, let's always look at the positive. When you see a bunch of roses and thorns, you know, roses, they grow among thorns. And you cut that thing out, you're going to have a bunch of roses and thorns. What do you see? Do you see the roses or do you see the thorns? And when you see a glass of water that's halfway, water is up to it halfway, what do you see? You know, this determines, you know, or describes your mentality at failure or success. Some will see a half empty glass of water. Others will see a half full glass of water. They are looking at the same thing. You know, they're looking at the same thing. There's a glass of water sitting on your table right here. It's got water up to midway. You can look at it as half empty and it'll be correct. You can look at it as half full and it'll be correct. Well, the person that looks at it as half empty, in their mind, the water level is dropping. It is draining. It's half empty. It's going to come empty itself out. The one that sees it as half full, glory to God. They see the water level as rising. Glory to God. You know, let's change our perspective through these trials and through these tribulations. Let us see things through the eyes of the Father. He will never put upon you what's more than your strength. We know that. You know, he will never. Why? Because the Lord is faithful like that. Glory to God. He says, you know, there had no test or trial, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, taking you, but such as is common to man. What are you going through right now that nobody else has ever gone through? There's no such thing. Somebody has gone through. But when you are going through it, it's like you're the only one because your world is crumbling. And we understand that. We're not making light of it. You know, and it's a person that's going through it that knows what they're going through. Somebody who's on the outside say, well, you know, what are they going through? Everybody's been through that before. Well, you don't know that. You know, for them, it's like everything. But I tell you, the strength of the Lord is with you. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tested above what you are able to bear. But will the temptation, every temptation or testing, he will make a way of escape so that you may be able to bear it. You know, he will do that too. And sometimes we have some tremendous losses, you know, in our lives. You know, some losses are easier to overcome than others. You know, some losses, you know, I mean, so, you know, if you take an exam and you don't make it, you still have an opportunity to take an exam and make it again. That's a simple loss. But when there is a loss of a life, it is just, it's unbearable, you know, but God has a way that he will wipe away all our tears, you know, and I will share one or two testimonies, you know, and then I'll let people declare and then we're going to pray. You know, prepare your response or what I call your reaction to what you've heard. You know, so, and we'll bring people up to the stage in a minute. You're talking about taking an exam. I remember some years ago when I was in school for my master's program in computer science here in Arizona. Arizona State University. This was many, many years ago. I don't know, 2013. I mean, 2003 to be exact. And from 2003 to 2005. And I was taking some classes, which I thought, well, you know, I mean, this should be a breeze because I was already, you know, in the field anyway, doing that. But no, it was not a breeze at all. Because at that time, I mean, it's been many years, you know, I mean, when I was in college, you know, back in the day for my bachelor's degree, I came out of there in 1977 or something. I mean, that was many, many years ago. Back in those days, my brain was like sharp. You know, I even remember when I was even younger in high school, you know, and then some of my colleagues then, they used to call me, they had a nickname, they called me, you know, photo, because, you know, it almost seemed as if I had a photographic memory. You know, I could go into the classroom, listen to the teacher. I mean, if I wasn't there, that's a different story. But if I was there and they explained it, I got it. One time, I got it. I would never forget it. I knew it once I heard it. You know, I never forgot anything. Well, as years went by, as I got older, I forgot a lot of things. I'm telling you, I forgot a lot of things. You know, I mean, I used to be a whiz bang kid in all these things, you know. But this time around, when I went to this program, many, many years after those times when my brain was way up there, it was like it was a struggle. I mean, I will read something and it would be like dark sentences. I couldn't understand anything. It's like my mind was blocked. I was like, my goodness, what is this? How did I get myself into this? I told my wife, you know, I don't know, you know, but I wanted to do it because, you know, I started that program first, you know, in 1986, I think. And then I was going to do it. Then I started to do consulting, traveling in my work, and I couldn't. So I left, and I had taken like 18 credits out of 30. And then when I started to travel all over the place, I couldn't finish it. And then many years later, when I came back, I said, oh, I'm ready to do this. Cause I got to show my kids that whatever you start, you must finish. You know, then it was like many years had passed. You know, you had only 6 years to complete the thing, but many years had passed. So they said, well, you got to start over. And I said, oh, my goodness. There's only 12 more credits to go, but now I got to start over. And then when I started over, I found out even when I started in 86, my brain was still a whole lot better than it was in 2003. I don't know what happens to this brain, you know, but the only thing that I never seem to forget are the scriptures. But some of these other things just seem to, you know, go away. So anyway, struggling, couldn't make ends meet. I took one class, you know. They had these classes, you know, you got to take the midterms, you got to take all these things and so forth, you know, 3 or 4 midterms, final exam and project and all that. I took one first midterm like this, and I was so nervous, you know, and I just screwed up big time, you know, failed that exam big time. Never failed anything in my life. I failed that one. Big time, you know, I got a big whopping F in that paper. And I was like, oh my goodness. And it was because I was just confused with one small thing. Anyway, cause the long story short, I went to the Lord. And I said, no, I cannot nothing. You know, I remember when I was growing up, you know, my dad used to tell me like, look, nothing that cannot speak should ever get the better of you. I said that this class can't get the better of me. You know, I went to the Lord and spoke to a friend, and man, you know, the inspiration of the Almighty. And since then, I've always hung on to that scripture, Job 32, verse 8. This friend of mine, he just, you know, coming out of the service one day, I said, look, you know, I'm going through. And he said, well, you know, the inspiration of the Almighty will do it for you. He didn't quote the scripture, but I remember I said, I know that scripture somewhere. He just said that, you know, so I went and searched that scripture out and I found it. And the full scripture says, Job 32 and verse 8, if you can post that for me, there is a spirit in man and the inspiration of the Almighty gives you understanding. Oh my goodness. So cut a long story short, you know, when I latched onto that scripture, things just opened up. I began to understand. It was like my mind just opened up. It was like a light bulb just went on, you know, and things, you know, there was one, that same class at the end of the day, I got an A in that class, the one that I failed the first midterm, you know, but from that day on, I said, look, no more, you know, and the Lord just opened my mind. And I began to understand things. And it was a project they gave us that I just opened my heart to the Lord. I didn't even know. Gave us this big textbook. All the answers were in there. But I didn't know where they were. And the inspiration just hit me when I would open up and I would just find the places. And it was amazing. You know, came out with an A in that class because I did not settle for a failed grade. Glory to God. I told that story to my kids all the time when they were going to school. I said, look. Just because you stumble at the first hurdle doesn't mean you have to give up. You get up and you keep going. Praise God. It's a steeplechase, you know, and, you know, it's not just always a sprint. You got to go through this multiple obstacle course thing, you know, and you overcome everything. Well, you know, at the end of the day, I aced almost every one of those classes that I took, you know, and there was another one that I was struggling with, you know, and I used the inspiration of the Almighty in the class to change the mind of the instructor, you know, and I asked him, the presence of everybody, to cancel some of the exams and let us focus on the project, because I was always nervous in the exams, but I knew I would do extremely well in the projects. And he did it. How do you cancel 2 midterms because a student asked? And these things are already in the catalog. And everybody in the class said, what was that all about? When I asked that question, they came after the class. I said, well, the inspiration of the Almighty. I put it out there, and the man, he canceled the midterms and said, yeah, you know, I will increase the project grade. And he came, and I aced that class also. Inspiration of the Almighty. It's worked for me in business. It worked for me on the job. It's worked everywhere. Whatever, wherever, even technical things, difficulties where I don't even know how, you know, to solve the problem. By the inspiration of the Almighty, I just say, Lord, and then a light bulb will just go on. My goodness. And solutions will just come. Till this day, it's working for me. I don't want to take all the time, you know, but here you have, that's where you have it. And the same thing, if you're in business, you're going to have challenges. You're going to have difficulties. The enemy is going to taunt you, you know, but it's the trial of your faith. And Bible says in Isaiah 48:17, I am the Lord that will teach you how to make profit. That's right. He'll teach you to. Oh, yes. By the inspiration of the Almighty. You know, even while men sleep, the Bible says he will seal the instruction in their hearts. You know, you just wake up one day inspired, fired up and ready to go. You know, you didn't know where that inspiration came from. It is in the spirit when the Lord dropped a word there, you know, and, you know, people say, you know, something told me. No, it wasn't something that told you. It was the spirit of a living God connecting with your spirit, giving you inspiration and sometimes even causing you to avoid tragedy. It will just drop a word in your heart, tell you to go this way or that way. And you miss, you know, being in an accident or something. It's the inspiration of the Almighty. So today, run with it and don't ever be discouraged. Don't ever be discouraged. When you fall, arise. When you stumble over the first hurdle, don't give up. Get up. There are more hurdles in the front. You got to get over them as well. You know, so, you know, every hurdle, we must get over it. You keep going, you stumble, you get up, you keep going, you stumble, you get up. But, you know, if you faint not, the Bible says that you shall reap in due season. Glory to God. You will reap in due season if you faint not.